From NPR News and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, a mammoth found in the ground, still woolly after all these years. But first, to the funeral of Pope John Paul II. He was laid to rest today in the crypt of St. Peter's Basilica after a nearly three-hour-long funeral mass. The service drew millions of pilgrims and visitors to Rome, dignitaries too, from more than 80 countries. NPR's Peter Kenyon was in St. Peter's Square, and he has this report.
The streets around Vatican City were clogged with people overnight, laying their sleeping bags, blankets, or just themselves down on the sidewalks to make sure they could get into the funeral today. Exhaustion was showing on many faces as the barricades were opened to St. Peter's Square. But everyone was on their feet and applauding at the sight of the Pope's coffin emerging from the Basilica for the funeral mass. Police estimated this crowd jamming St. Peter's at about 300,000, but officials said many more watched on large television screens set up around Rome. Those fortunate enough to get into the square included a strong contingent from the Pope's native Poland. Some listened to Polish radio's commentary on the mass as their red and white Polish flags snapped in the wind. One Pole said simply, "This is my memory of a lifetime." The dean of the College of Cardinals, Joseph Ratzinger, delivered the homily. He was forced to pause several times for applause, especially when he recalled the Pope's difficult final days and his last appearance at the window of his residence, when he was unable to speak, simply making the sign of the cross. "We can be sure," said Ratzinger, "that our beloved Pope is standing today at the window of the Father's house, that he sees us and blesses us." The audience burst into spontaneous chanting several times during the Mass, calling out Santo Subito, or Saint Now, urging a rapid elevation to sainthood for the late pontiff. The crowd paid little attention to the large gathering of heads of state and other dignitaries sitting close to the altar, except for a few whistles and derisive comments as President George W. Bush's image appeared on the TV screens. Silence reigned in the VIP section, where Israeli President Moshe Katsav wound up close to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, but the people's farewell to the pontiff was at times exuberant. Alternately thrusting their arms high in the air and then clapping, pockets of people called out his name in Italian, Giovanni Paolo.
Giovanni Paolo! Giovanni Paolo!
Toward the end of the Mass, a small army of white and red-robed priests fanned out through the few passageways carved into the crowd, which surged toward the barricades to receive Holy Communion, the thin white wafer which represents the body of Christ. Standing near the large stone obelisk in the middle of St. Peter's Square, Brother Claude Williams of Silverado, California, says it was a surprisingly personal experience, considering the sheer size of this very public event.
"I feel very blessed that I'm able to live in Rome at this time and to be part of this funeral with so many other members of the Christ mystical body who have come together to say farewell to our Holy Father."
After hours on their feet, except those who had sunk to the cobblestones to rest, audience members let their emotions go as the Pope's coffin was solemnly carried up the steps and back into the basilica to be buried. Tears flowed freely, and many in the crowd waved goodbye as the coffin disappeared inside. Emergency service officials said they were astonished at how few problems surfaced, just a few minor injuries according to preliminary reports. Now municipal workers will tackle the mountains of debris left by the crowd, and in 10 days, the cardinals will meet to begin what may be the difficult task of electing someone to succeed Pope John Paul II. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, St. Peter's Square.